Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English, a tour, a colorful educational tour of our capital, Madrid, and of our province, La Comunidad de Madrid. Learn English with me, with Richard Vaughn, using Madrid as our base of operations. Yeah, let's go. Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Welcome to a new show, to a new program. Welcome to Madrid en Inglés, Madrid in English. My name's Richard Vaughn. I'm an English teacher, and I'm here to teach English indirectly through my life in Madrid. Well, not really, well, my life in Madrid. No, I'm here to talk about Madrid and the community or the province of Madrid. For these first maybe 10 or 15 or 20 Sunday programs, I'll talk about my, I'll use my life as a pretext or a base of operations, as I say, to talk about Madrid, because Madrid is the background, is el telón de fondo, is the center of Spain. The community of Madrid is the background of almost everything I'm talking about. And right now, I finished last week talking about La Central Nuclear de Zorita, which is not in Madrid. It's in the province of Guadalajara, Comarca de la Carria. And there, I spent 10 months. The fall, September to December 1974, and then from mid-January to mid-June 1974. Now, 1975, 74, and 75, the president of the government was Carlos Arias Navarro. The head of state, jefe del Estado, was still Francisco Franco. He was very old. He was 82, 81, 82. He was quite feeble. Feeble, escrito feeble, doble E. Feeble means débil, pero este tipo de debilidad de una persona anciana. Weak. Weak. Es pronunciado como semana, pero escrito weak. Significa débil. Yes. Esa persona tiene un carácter débil. Has a weak character. Eso no es feeble. Feeble is, I don't know the right word for feeble. But Franco was becoming quite feeble at that time, and it was a... It was clear that maybe there would be a transition. Many people were not sure. Many people were afraid of what could happen. Juan Carlos was the prince and príncipe. The children of the king were and queen were young. But it was an interesting period. It was an easygoing period. I found Madrid to be very safe. Even today, many, many years later, 50 years later, Madrid is still a safe city compared to others. I don't think Madrid is as safe today as in 1974, 1975. But maybe so. I don't know. I haven't taken a close look at the statistics. But living in Spain and living in Madrid was less safe in some ways then than today. I remember very well reading the newspapers in Madrid. ABC, you remember the newspapers, the common newspapers. I think the number one newspaper in Spain at that time was Ya. El periódico Ya. Y-A. Number two, I think, was ABC. And this is 1974, 1975. And number three, I can't... Well, of course, we had La Vanguardia in Catalonia, in El Periódico de Catalunya, and others, and a lot of local or regional newspapers, like the Diario Montañés, etc., in the province of Santander, because at that time, the province of Santander was part of Castilla Vieja. Not Castilla León as a community or as a region didn't exist yet. But Ya was, I think, the number one newspaper, and the second was ABC. You had La Hoja del Lunes because the newspapers didn't work. They didn't prepare a Monday edition. So we had La Hoja del Lunes, you remember. And I'm trying to remember another important newspaper. There was a newspaper called Informaciones, which was a bit more progressive. Not really. Compared to today, it was not progressive, but it was less Francoist or monarchist than ABC and Ya. And I'm trying to remember others. Mundo Obrero, El Alcázar, was very right-wing. But I don't think Mundo Obrero was legal yet. I can't. This is before Franco died. There was a period, it was called La Apertura, during the governments of Arias Navarro. It was called La Apertura. And so there was an opening up, let's say, in Glasnost, as they say in Russian, under Gorbachev later in the 80s. But it was an Apertura. And so you saw it in the cinema. In the movies, were more liberal and things. So there was a thawing. To thaw, T-H-A-W, como la ley, law, quitamos la L y ponemos una TH, thaw, es descongelar. Descongelar un carne, un filete congelado, pues hay que descongelarlo. We have to let it thaw, to thaw. To melt is derretir, o fundir, si es hierro fundido, for example, to melt. But to thaw is descongelar. And we use it figuratively. Descongelar una situación, un régimen más duro, digamos, to thaw. And so there was what they called la apertura. I remember these things. And at that time, in 1975, Franco died in November 1975. November 20th, 1975. And it was a period, I repeat, it was very safe. People, the two of the most popular places for people in general, especially in the summertime, was to go to the Corte Inglés or Galerías Preciados. You remember, it still existed. To go to the Corte Inglés or Galerías Preciados, or Sears. El Corte Inglés de la calle Serrano, at that time in 1975, was Sears, the famous American department store. It was Sears. And people went to the Corte Inglés, Galerías Preciados, and Sears because it was air conditioned. Often on Saturday and Sunday. Well, Sunday, I think it was closed. I can't remember. But many days they went into the Corte Inglés to not necessarily to buy something or the Galerías Preciados, but to enjoy the air conditioning, to escape from the heat. Because most flats and houses didn't have air conditioning back then. People complain today about the summer times in Madrid or in the center of Spain or in Andalusia. But they have, most houses now have air conditioning. Climatización, so you can, and the offices too. But I remember when I was teaching English in the nuclear plant or in Berlitz in Calle Gran Vía, Avenida José Antonio at that time, we didn't have air conditioning. And we complained, of course, but I don't think we complained more than the people complain today. People have to complain about something, don't they? So they complain about the heat. Oh, qué calor. And people say global warming, el cambio climático, you know, the climate change and global warming. Well, I guarantee you, the summers in Madrid in 1974, 1975, they were as hot as today. The summers are not hotter. The winters are a bit milder. As we'll see. Mild means suave. Soft is suave, mullido, como mullido. But mild means suave, como un cigarro no fuerte, un tabaco suave. We say mild. También una temperatura suave, a mild temperature. Mild. Mild. Como milla, mile, mild, pero cambiando la E por una D al final. Mild. Y que suene la D, por favor, mild. Si no, entendemos milla. Yes. So winter's a bit more mild, but back then the summers were hot and people sought, well, they found the coolness going into Galerías Preciados or El Corte Inglés or Sears, perhaps, some shops, and the cinema. So people went to the movies. And most of the cinemas, in the United States, we say movie theater. We usually don't say cinema. We understand cinema, American English. But we say movie theater, teatro de películas, movie theater. And so, and people went because of the air conditioning in the movies. Now, most of the movie theaters were located on Gran Vía. Well, Avenida José Antonio, of course. Basically between Callao and the Plaza de España. But I think there were two or three also located between Callao and La Red de San Luis, which is the area at the Calle Montera. ¿Cómo se llama esa calle? Yeah. Just opposite the Telefónica building on Gran Vía. You have the street that goes down to the wide street that goes down to the Puerta del Sol. I think it's called Calle Montera, because I always confuse it with Calle Montesa in Barrio Salamanca. But I'm not sure. Let me check on this. I'm going to open a map and look at it and look for it and see if I can find it. Let's see, Gran Vía, here we are. Yes, Callao, and here, Calle de la Salud. Here it is. What's the name of that street? No lo dice. It doesn't say. Calle Montera, yes, Calle Montera. Yes, you probably know better than I do. Continuación de Hortaleza as you move, go down, cross the Gran Vía or Avenida José Antonio in 1975. And you continue going down towards the Puerta del Sol, which is the kilometer zero in Spain. And so there were most of the cinemas, but there were also movie theaters, about three or four on Calle Fuencarral between Glorieta Bilbao and Glorieta de Quevedo, on that stretch of the street. Fijaos, digo stretch. Stretch is estirar o estirarse. No es de buen. It's not good to stretch in public. Estirarse en público está mal visto en España. No en Estados Unidos. It's interesting. That's a strange. Está muy mal visto in public, to stretch in public in Spain. But in the States, it's not. Now, stretch también es tramo o trecho. Del dicho al hecho hay mucho trecho. Okay, but un tramo de calle is a stretch. El tramo de la calle Fuencarral. The stretch of street, of Fuencarral Street, between the Glorieta Bilbao and the Glorieta Quevedo, today has, I think, two movie theaters only. Or three, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I should look at it. But back then means en aquel entonces. Back then, there were, I think, four. I'm looking at the street now, and I see that there are only two. Cinesa Proyecciones y MK2 Cinepaz. But back then, you had the Cine Bilbao, which had the tragic accident in 1993. Six people were killed. La Calle de una Marquesina. And then another, I can't remember. But, and then you had Cine Benyure, of course, in Barrio Salamanca, and other, the Cine que ahora es teatro on the Calle Alcalá, or the Cine Alcalá, maybe. Not really on Alcalá Street, it's on Hermosilla, I can't remember what street it's on. But there were still quite, there were, and of course, you had the Cine Azul, but that was also on Gran Vía. And you had the Cine on the street whose name I can never remember. Gastambide, el siguiente es Andrés Mellado, Cine Mellado, or something like that. So there are quite a few movie theaters in Madrid in 1975. But usually to watch a movie, to see a movie, you had to buy the tickets in the morning. I remember back then, but in the 1970s, going to the Gran Via and going, and often there was a long line. At 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or a Sunday, there was a long line of people at 10 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, waiting to buy tickets for the movie at 4 and 7 and 10. There were three showings. Tres sesiones, no? There was a showing at 7 o'clock, a showing at 4 o'clock, 4 p.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m. And I remember in those days along Avenida José Antonio, Hoy Gran Vía, I remember if I went to one of the movies at 10 o'clock, if the movie ended after midnight, if I remember right, the underground was closed. El metro se había cerrado. I do remember perfectly well hundreds and hundreds of people, centenares, miles a veces, of people walking home. From Gran Vía, they walk up Princesa Street, or they walk down Cuesta San Vicente, or they walk through up to Cibeles and to the Puerto Alcalá and through crossing in the Retiro Park, walking home after the movies on the Gran Vía, because I did it myself. Yes. I mean, we can ask, ¿a qué hora cerraba el metro? What time in 1975? And try to find out. I can't remember. Yes. La estación abrió hora registrado. I can't find it. Yes. But I remember hundreds and hundreds of people. No me atrevo a decir miles, pero centenares, sí. Hundreds of people walking home. Hundreds. Cientos de, centenares de. Hundreds of people walking home. Because there weren't enough taxis. There were a lot of taxis, but there were not enough taxis, of course, to accommodate so many people on the Gran Vía, leaving the movie theaters at the same time at 12:15 at night or 12:30 at night. Interesting. These were my experiences. And in the second half of 1975, Francisco Franco was still the head of state. There was a move to, they executed several members of ETA and Grapo, and FRAP, I think, and that created a lot of protests in different parts of the world, in Paris, in Rome, and especially in Lisbon. In Lisbon, they burnt down the Spanish embassy or consulate in Lisbon. I can't remember. But nevertheless, it was an interesting period. And I was living in La Central Nuclear de Zorita in the first half of the year. And on the weekends, I was living on Fuencarral Street, 150 meters opposite Cine Bilbao, about 100 meters or 150 meters from the Glorieta Bilbao. And I mentioned this last week or the week before, I think the week before, there was a very popular bar, very small, a tiny bar. Bueno, no era un bar. Era un local diminuto, o sea, 15 metros cuadrados. on Fuencarral, almost in the Gloria de Bilbao, that served, the only thing they served was bocadillos de calamares, squid sandwiches. And there was always a long line. And every time I walked out of the portal, of the door of my building, el barrio entero olía a calamares. And, well, it was good. Okay, fine. But, they closed that place. And I think there were complaints, por quejas, of the people living in that area that the entire street smelled like a squid. Squid, calamari. In English, we say squid for the animal. Squid is a calamari, un calamar. But usually we say calamari, the Italian word for it. But in any case, that I remember that. I'm coming up to a break. I'm going to take a short break, but I'll be right back in a few seconds.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
¿Necesitas reír? Pues no te pierdas La Madre que me parió en el Teatro Lara. Séptima temporada de la comedia de éxito que ya han visto más de 400.000 personas. La Madre que me parió en el Teatro Lara. Una loca comedia sobre las relaciones madre-hija. Líos y secretos en La Madre que me parió. Más info en teatrolara.com.
Llega la Navidad. Es momento de compartir, de disfrutar, de revivir los mejores momentos. Maestros asadores del auténtico cordero y cochinillo segoviano. Reserva tu cena con nosotros en asadorvillaranda.com.
Onda Madrid, 101.3 y 106 FM.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, I'm talking about 1975 in Madrid, when I was living there. People escaping the heat in the summer by going to the Corte Inglés, Galerías Preciados, or going to the movies, because the climatización, because it was cool. Very few flats and apartments and houses had air conditioning. So, in 1975... In the first semester, the first half year of 1975, I spent most of my time in the province of Guadalajara, Comarca La Alcarria, in the residential facilities. Fíjense, instalaciones residenciales, facilities, we say facilities. In the residential facilities of the Central Nuclear de Zorita, teaching English. And every weekend, Friday, coming into Madrid to have a good time in Madrid. Yes, with friends. And I was living, I repeat, near the Gloria Turbao and Calle Fuencarral. All right. And then I decided, because in the nuclear plant, there were probably about 10 or 15 families from Asturias working there. Well, the fathers were working there, and the mothers and children, no. But it was interesting because Unión Eléctrica was the owner and the operator of the Central Nuclear de Zorita. Oficialmente Central Nuclear José Cabrera. That was the official name, but people called it the Zorita, because you had Zorita Los Canes, Zorita de Almonacid de Zorita, Albalate de Zorita, and you have Sayatón, Pastrana, Escopete, Escariche, all these towns in Guadalajara. I remember them. Mondejar, no sé si es de Madrid. Almoguera. All these, I remember these towns. Pezuela las Torres. Some of these are in the province of Madrid, not in the province of Guadalajara. And we had the Embalse de Bolarque. And it's interesting because I visited Bolarque, and that's the beginning of the Trasvase Tajo Segura. You know, during the Franco regime, there was a lot of construction of dams and the control. The improvement of the water resources in Spain. And because Murcia is an area that is the Segura River is usually dry. And similar to Valencia with the Gota Fria, of course, you have, Murcia also has similar atmospheric and climatological phenomena. And because the land in Murcia, despite very little rain, has high agricultural potential, The central government, the Franco regime, made the decision to take advantage of the water from the Tajo River, the Tagus River, and to send it to Murcia, to the Rio Segura, El Trasvase Tajo Segura. And it's, for, in my opinion, it's very successful. Murcia is one of the richest areas in Europe for agriculture now, thanks to this engineering project. And in some areas of Murcia, they have up to 6 harvests per year. 6 recolecciones, cosechas y recolecciones por año. And most of this is sent to Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, France, and so. And so it's a lot of the fruits and vegetables that are sent north to north of the Pyrenees originate in Murcia. Of course, also in Almería, with los enarenados bajo plástico, the invernaderos, and also, in Valencia, Castellón, and Alicante. These are very rich areas for citrus fruits, citrus fruits, and for vegetables. It's a very rich area of Europe. Spain is a very rich country in agriculture. And so I remember visiting Bolarque and seeing it was impressive to see that enormous conduit, that enormous pipe, tubería, going up from the water in the embalse, the Bolarque, on the Tagus River, and then going up to the top of a hill, a very high hill, and then from there, boom, straight south to Murcia. Some people are against that, but I'm in favor of it because Murcia is an area that has greater potential for agriculture than the area of Guadalajara, that area of Guadalajara, or the province of Toledo in the area where the Tagus passes through, except in the area of Talavera, in that area. So it's interesting, and there have been suggestions concerning the Ebro. Of course, now with las comunidades autónomas, el sistema casi federal que hay, it's almost a federal system, it's more difficult now to establish a national policy concerning water and concerning many other things, concerning education. It's a bit of a mess, so many, hay tantos pitufos, no sé qué. There's so many different regions, and they protect their own interests. And so what is in the interests of Spain as a single entity often is overlooked. But that's, I don't want to get political today. So let's go on with, so I was living in the residential facilities of the nuclear plant that first year and spending the weekends in Madrid. I had broken up with Isabel. She was too high, maintenance. Si en inglés, una persona de alto mantenimiento es una persona que exige mucha atención tuya, que te absorbe. We call that a high maintenance person. Tienes que aplicar un alto nivel de mantenimiento a la persona. And so these people te agotan. These people exhaust you. Yes. Chupan energía. And that was Isabel. And so when I left Isabel in Dallas, Texas, if you missed my program last week, you need to find out if through Onda Madrid online you can find it. These are interesting stories I'm telling about my life and about Madrid and about Spain and about the United States as well. And so I think you'll find them interesting. But you have to go back and see. And if you can't, contact Onda Madrid. Says, ¿dónde están los programas pasados de Madrid en inglés? And you can find them. But in any case, and so I had broken up with Isabel, so on the weekends when I went in, I simply went to different parties and things with students, American students and Spanish friends I had. And I had a good time, but I spent a lot of my time with music. I'm a part-time musician and composer. But at that time, I was seriously playing classical guitar, Spanish guitar. And I spent maybe 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day with the guitar. I was following Andres Segovia and, of course, and also the flamenco artist Paco de Lucía, Sabicas, and Carlos Montoya, the American, well, Spanish, who made a good living in the United States as a flamenco artist. And I was following, Manolo de Sanlúcar and many others back at that time. I'm trying to think of some of the others, and also the Englishman Julian Bream, the Australian John Williams, and the American Christopher Parkening. And so I was very much involved in improving my skills with the classical guitar. Later, many years later, I play the piano as well. And I have music inside me. Maybe thanks to my mother. My mother was a very good pianist. She could play the piano very, very well. And when she was pregnant with me, embarazada de mí, she played the piano every day for about 3 or 4 hours. When she was pregnant with my sister, she wasn't playing the piano. She was working in the Texas Department of Highways, and so she was a typist and stenographer. And so my sister doesn't have a good musical ear. But when I was, during my period of gestation in my mother's uterus or womb, la matriz de mi madre, I was absorbing music 3 or 4 hours every day from the fingers of my mother playing the piano. And so by the time I was 9, I was playing the piano. And when, at the age of 14, I began playing the electric guitar in rock groups in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And then when I came to Spain, I became familiar with the classical guitar, the Spanish guitar, listening to Regino Sainz de la Maza and to Andrés Segovia, to Narciso Yepes. I'm trying to remember some of the best known artists of the classical guitar at that time. And there were quite a few very good guitarists. Spain produces excellent guitars, and the flamenco guitars are incredible. They're incredible. Sabicas is the most incredible. Sabicas. Yes. El Niño de las Abicas. I'm not sure if I expressed this last time. He was born and brought up in Pamplona. Y claro, in the north of Spain, in certain areas of the north of Spain, they say casica, mi cochico. Y me gustan las abas, me gustan las abicas. And apparently, this little boy, he loved abicas. Y le llamaban el niño de las abicas. Pero todo junto, el niño de las abicas, sabicas. So the word sabicas became his name, and I consider him the best flamenco guitar artists of the 20th century, better than Paco de Lucía, even though Paco de Lucía is incredible. Sabicas, I think, was even more. But let's move on. All right. And so I spent a lot of time in the nuclear plant, in the residence of the nuclear plant, and in my room in the flat in Madrid, playing the guitar. Seriously, I did. And then in the summertime, my parents came to visit. This is 1975, in the summer of 1975. And we took a nice trip from Madrid to Barcelona. And then from Barcelona, we took a train to Marseille and to Cannes and to Nice along the Costa Azul in France, to San Remo, and then down to Rome. And so we spent some time in Rome. We took a train to Florence. And then we took a train through the Brenner Pass to Innsbruck in Austria. Very nice, beautiful. Oof, beautiful. And then we took a train to Munich. And I remember staying in Munich with my parents, my mother and my father. My sister at that time was living in Tacoma, Washington, en la base aérea, la base militar donde grabaron Oficial y Caballero, with Richard Gere, you remember. An officer and a gentleman. My sister was living there with her husband, who was a dentist. Dentista en las Fuerzas Aéreas. For 3 years, because El Tio Sam, the American government paid for the university education of my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. And so he had to, in return, he had to spend 3 years practicing dentistry on one of the air bases, las bases aéreas, of the United States. And it was in Tacoma, Washington, just south of Seattle. Very beautiful area. But in any case, getting back, my parents came, and so we went to Italy, to Austria, and to Germany. And then from Germany, we went up the Rhine River all the way to Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And finally, my parents returned to the States. And I don't remember if I returned to the States with them for a short period of time. Maybe I did. I'm going to take a break again in just a second, in about 20 seconds, and I'm going to try to remember if I spent that summer, maybe 1 month in the United States. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm going to come back and talk, because I started talking about the Familias Asturianas in the nuclear plant. Now I remember I didn't go to the States, but I'll be right back.
Los porros pueden parecer inofensivos, pero golpean tu vida hasta destrozarla. Tu salud, tu familia, tus amigos, todo. Los daños son para siempre. No dejes que los porros destrocen tu vida. Plan Regional contra las Drogas de la Comunidad de Madrid.
¿Necesitas guardar tus muebles en espera de nueva vivienda o reforma? Confía en Estebaranz. Llevamos los contenedores a tu casa para una mínima manipulación. Mudanzas y guardamuebles Estebaranz. Desde siempre a tu lado.
La violencia contra la mujer se manifiesta de diferentes formas. Agresiones en el propio hogar. Violencia sexual. Trata de mujeres para la explotación sexual. Mutilación genital femenina. O matrimonio forzoso. También coacciones para evitar que estudien, sean madres o se desarrollen con libertad.
Todas son una violación de los derechos humanos. Todas son delitos. Alcemos la voz. 25 de noviembre, Día Internacional para la Eliminación de la Violencia contra la Mujer. Rompe el silencio. Pacto de Estado contra la Violencia de Género. Comunidad de Madrid.
Restaurante J, cocina vasca, un referente de buena mesa en Chamberí, con la sencillez y honestidad de la cocina de siempre. Donde comer bien, sin tontunas, con familia, amigos, tu cuadrilla. Verduras, guisos de temporada y pescados salvajes al centro de la mesa. Restaurante J, una cocina para siempre, a 50 metros de la Gloria Dieta de Bilbao. Reserva y disfruta.
101.3 y 106 FM. Onda Madrid.
Hello and welcome back. Okay, I am in the month of June 1975. And in the second half of June, I spent 2 weeks or a little more with my parents, traveling through Italy, Austria, Germany, Belgium, and the Netherlands, Holland. And then from Amsterdam, my parents went to London, I think, and then finally back to the United States. And I returned to Spain. And I decided to take a trip on my own. And so I decided to see Asturias. Why? Because during the 1 year, well, 1 year, during the 10 months that I spent working as an English teacher in the nuclear plant in Guadalajara, La Central Nuclear de Zorita, there were about 15 Asturian families. Because Unión Eléctrica, the operator of the nuclear plant in Guadalajara, was also the operator of several mines in the mining district of Asturias. La cuenca minera de Asturias, La Felguera y Mieres, básicamente. Unión Eléctrica had several mines, and they had a problem, because there was a problem with the coal business, with the el sector minero, del carbón. En los años 80 se hizo la reestructuración, o reconversión, mejor dicho, del sector del carbón, because it was a problem. It was not profitable for many, many companies. But already in the 1970s, some of the owners of these mines were making important business decisions. And the Unión Eléctrica, when they opened the nuclear plant in Zorita, the first nuclear plant in Spain, is una central muy pequeña, muy mona, really. And they decided to take advantage of the problem in Asturias and to relocate some of the families that were working in the coal mining district in La Felguera y en Mieres down to Guadalajara, to the central. And so I met a lot of people from Asturias, interesting names. I remember Cesario, Honorino, Serafín. I remember these names of the people. Había un tal Honorio y otro Honorino. Honorino Miranda. I remember his name. And interesting people. And so they introduced me to Fabada. They introduced me to, the typical dishes you find in Asturias. I love Asturias. Well, I love Spain. I love the north of Spain as well. And so they insisted that I visit Asturias. Now, at that time, in 1975, I had visited every province in Spain, every region in Spain except Murcia and Asturias, and also the Balearic Islands and the Canary Islands, and Melilla. I had been to Ceuta. Melilla is una ciudad autónoma. No, una comunidad autónoma. But I had never been to the Canary Islands, nor to the Balearic Islands. No me sale. Se me traba la lengua. In 1975, but I had visited every area of Spain except the Balearic Islands, the Canary Islands, Asturias, and Murcia, and Melilla. So I decided, okay, toca Asturias. Now I'll go to Asturias. So I rented a car in Madrid. I rented a 600, and I drove north, and I drove all the way to Palencia and into Fromista, which is a small town very near the capital of Palencia. And there I turned. Fromista is, if you're going to Cantabria, from Palencia to Fromista, you're on the Cantabria Highway. When I wanted to go to Asturias, so in Fromista, I turned and me adentré into the most rural areas of the province of Palencia. And then I went up to Riaño. And Riaño is a city. Well, city. It's not a city. It's a town. And I stopped in Riaño to have lunch. And this was in the summer of, this I think in July, maybe August, 1975. And I remember the people in Riaño. And Riaño, I think, is in Palencia. But it could be in León, but I'm not sure. Just a second. I'm going to check. Riaño. Let's check. Riaño. I escrito Riaño. Riaño. Let's see. Where is Riaño? Riaño, León. All right. Now, el embalse de Riaño. Now, when I passed through Riaño, it was the old Riaño. You see. Now Riaño is new because the old Riaño is underwater. I don't remember the name. I don't know the name of the embalse. But I can find the name of it now, or pantano. It's interesting, in Spanish language you say pantano, and it has two meanings, zonas pantanosas, como ciénagas, y luego pantano como un embalse. I don't know. El embalse de Riaño se llama. Okay, it was built demolido completamente en julio del 87 con motivo de la construcción del embalse de Riaño. So when I arrived in 1975, they told me, the people in Riaño, they said, this town is going to die in a few years because they're planning to build a dam. Dam, D-A-M, dam, como cerveza dam, pero con M simple, es una presa, el muro de contención de la presa. It's a dam. And then with the dam, you create a reservoir. In English, reservoir, la palabra francesa, reservoir, que es reserva de agua en este caso, we say reservoir, for embalse o pantano, el pantano de Entre Peñas y Buendía. I mean, these are reservoirs. It's artificial lakes, lago artificial. I mean, there are very few natural lakes in Spain. You know, Lago de Sanabria is a natural lake. Also, the Los Lagos de Covadonga, of course, in Asturias, are natural lakes. But in any case, I was driving. I rented a Seat 600, and I drove straight north to Fromista and then up to Riaño before it was underwater. And then I continued through a beautiful desfiladero, a beautiful gorge, Garganta, and up to Cangas de Onís, and then to Arriondas. And I arrived in Arriondas the evening before el famoso descenso del Sella, del Río Sella, to Riba la Sella, from Arriondas to Riba la Sella. And I couldn't find a place to stay. And so I spent the night in un Seat 600. I don't know how many people in the history of the world have spent the night, slept the entire night in a Seat 600 or in Fiat 500, which is the Italian, the original Seat 600. But I did in Arriondas, and then I spent the next 2 weeks traveling around Asturias. Yeah, from one end to the other. All right, from Navia, you know, in the west, to Llanes in the east, to Covadonga, of course, to Somiedo. You know, I mean, this program is Madrid in Inglés, no es Asturias en Inglés. I'm sure you and the people in Madrid love Asturias. I like Asturias. It has some economic problems now on reconversion of many of the old industries. For example, during that trip, I remember visiting Avilés. And Avilés was orange. Tenía la atmósfera anaranjada. Raro. Con olor leve a azufre. With a slight smell of sulfur. Sulfuro. Sulfur. Of course, because that was the Encidesa had their largest factory there in Avilés. And it made a strong impression on me. My God, how can people live here? And the bartender, the owner of a bar said, no, no estamos acostumbrados. Ni nos enteramos. He said, they've been living there. But for a person coming from the outside, it says, whoa, how can you live here? Now Avilés is a beautiful town. It's clean. Similar to Bilbao. Bilbao was reconverted from an ugly steel-making city, similar to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and now it's very pretty and very nice, very interesting. Bilbao is a very interesting city, and Avilés is also a very interesting small city. And of course, I remember eating the fabada in Casa Prendes, Casa Gerardo in Prendes in Asturias, and going to the Playa de San Lorenzo in Oviedo, in Gijón, and of course visiting Oviedo. Very, very interesting, small provincial capital. Yes, donde La Regenta by Clarín, Leopoldo Alas. Interesting story, La Regenta. It takes place in Oviedo, although he doesn't mention the word Oviedo. It's a sleepy capital in northern Spain. All right. And then I returned to Madrid after 2 weeks or 2.5 weeks in my rented 600, driving around Asturias. I returned to Madrid. And I stopped along the way in La Granja de San Ildefonso to see the palace and Palacio de Verano, you know, in the Palacio de la Granja. And there I met a family, an American family, and the mother, the father, the daughter, and the boy, little boy. But the daughter was 17, and she was very, very attractive. Now, I was, how old was I? Let's see, July or August 1975. I was 23. Yes, I was 23. She was 17. So I was 6 years older. But I was with her parents as well. I mean, they were in La Granja. I was a member of a group with a tour guide, you know, explaining La Granja, the palace itself, and of course the gardens of La Granja. And I was able to see the waterworks in La Granja. Now it's more difficult. But I was interested in that girl. But she was really too young. But the father and the mother were very, very nice. And I asked them, well, what brings you to Spain? And they said, well, we've just arrived and we're going to live in Spain because the father was going to be the general manager of Sears, the American department store, of course, it used to be the number one department store in the United States. Now, the Sears is El Corte Inglés de la Calle Serrano. And so, I made friends with this man, and I told them that I was an English teacher. And he said, well, when we get back to Madrid, you need to come to my office and we can perhaps look into the possibility of English classes in Sears. So, I had finished teaching in the nuclear plant, and so now I had a first client, maybe, in Madrid. And I ruled out the daughter. She was just too young. And she was a little bit wild in any case. But I'm out of time, so I'll have to come back next week to continue Madrid en Inglés. It's been a real pleasure. And I wish you the best for this week. All the best.